You know, last week was just so awesome in so many different ways. We had a total of like 700 folks worship with us last week, and it was just an amazing week that we can give God praise. And you know, we're big on Easter, aren't we? We're all of our families, whether we attend church or not, Easter is on our minds, and rightfully so. And I mean, God raised Jesus from the dead. And as I like to say, he put an exclamation point on the life of his son. He put an exclamation point on the teachings of Jesus as he raised Jesus from the dead. And we celebrate something else that's 50 days from last week, and it's called Pentecost. And anybody know what Pentecost is? Anyone? It's the birth of what? It's the birth of the church. It's what a lot of people call it. It is the anointing of the apostles, and it is a day that we celebrate. But there's a span between Easter and Pentecost of 50 days. And you know, in the hubbub of Easter, sometimes we forget that Jesus stuck around for 40 days after his resurrection. Apparently, he had more to say and do. Amen? The very first verse in the book of Acts teaches us that the Gospels were all about all that Jesus began to do and teach. And the rest of Acts teaches us that Jesus is what Jesus is still doing and what he's still teaching in the days, weeks, months after the Gospels. The work of the first century church was the work of Jesus. And isn't that true as well for today's church? Question that I have today is, what is Jesus doing and teaching in our day? What is Jesus doing and teaching in our day? Are we still working with him or simply working for him? You ever thought about that? Are we still working with him or simply working for him? You know, it's all too easy to substitute our work for his, to engage in ministry apart from his direction, isn't it? Sometimes we get impatient and we want to move forward before we get the green light, don't we? Are we still working with him, or are we simply working for him? Jesus' message in the 40 days of the resurrection was really no different than the message during his 3 years of ministry. If you look at the beginning of Acts 1:3, it tells us after his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Now, if we turn to the very last page of the Acts of the Apostles, Acts 28:31, the last verse shows us Paul 3 decades later proclaiming, guess what? The kingdom of God. Have we meditated on the meaning and the importance of the kingdom? Or have we reduced the message of Jesus to only his sacrifice on the cross? Now, don't get me wrong. His sacrifice on the cross and his resurrection is amazing. It is a tremendous gift for each and every one of us. But is that all that Jesus taught? Individually and corporately, should we rediscover maybe this kingdom message that Jesus had throughout his ministry and that the apostles, including Paul, carried forward in the church? The angels who were present at the ascension asked a pretty good question. They said, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? Why do you stand looking up toward heaven? It's a question worth considering. Frequently, we are more concerned with heaven, aren't we, than the kingdom of God? I mean, the breathtaking sacrifice at Calvary purchased the forgiveness of sins and the hope of heaven. Amen? But in our generation, doesn't it seem that many followers of Jesus have limited his work and his message to heaven? Period. We should ask, if the gospel is only about going to heaven, why did Jesus invite us to take up his yoke of discipleship? Jesus invites us to work with him just as closely as the first disciples. And I ask again, are we still working with him, or are we simply working for him? Have we meditated on the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives? And boy, was the Holy Spirit just present. Amen? That was awesome. You see, we can work for God without any special empowerment. We cannot work with him apart from the Holy Spirit. Let's say that together. We can work for God without any special empowerment. We cannot work with him apart from the Holy Spirit. So what is the kingdom of God that Jesus talked so much about? Jesus actually began his ministry by saying, "The time has come. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." Mark 1:15. So we know that repentance is the way we enter the kingdom of God, and then the kingdom of God lives inside of us. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, guess what he said? He said, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." When talking about the kingdom of God, Jesus would say things like, "The kingdom was like yeast hidden in a lump of dough. It was worked into the dough and caused dramatic change in the nature of the dough and what happened to it." You see, the dough cannot resist it. Jesus also said that the kingdom was like a mustard seed, which looked small and insignificant, but when planted, it grew and became a great tree. That is what the kingdom of God is like, Jesus said. It appears to many to be little or nothing, but it has great power to influence. It has great power to change and to grow those that are around it. It is the seed in the crack of the sidewalk. Have you ever noticed the sidewalk where the big old trees are growing out of and the sidewalk has been pushed to the side, right? Yeah, the kingdom of heaven is like the seed in the crack of the sidewalk that eventually breaks and lifts the concrete up. The little bit of yeast affects all the dough. The tiny seed is hidden underground, but when God puts his life in it, it becomes a great tree. He also says, "Let the little children come to me and do not stop them. For it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you," Jesus says, "whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." You know, the kingdom of God may very well be the most important concept in the New Testament. It is a concept that is the foundation of almost everything that Jesus said and taught. The single thing that Jesus talked about more frequently than anything else was the kingdom of God. So often he began his teachings with the phrase, "The kingdom of God is like." You see, Jesus wanted us to live in the kingdom of God. So if we look at the big picture, it seems that we can begin to see the kingdom of God taking shape. And I just want to lift up some things. This is not all-encompassing by any means. It's just some things that came to mind as I was studying this. So first, kingdom living means that we live with an awareness of God's presence. Many Christians live as though the visible world is the real world, and seem to have no awareness that we are surrounded by another world, which is more real than the world that we can make contact each day through touch and sight. The Apostle Paul warned us to fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. 2 Corinthians 4. To me, I don't know, and maybe it's not obvious to you, but to me it really seems obvious, if we pay attention, that we are no longer living in a Christian nation. It doesn't take long in the average conversation or to listen to the sitcom for any period of time, right? to realize that we are not only a non-Christian culture, we have almost become an anti-Christian culture. The question is, how do we live in a world that has practically abandoned God? As Christians, how do we live in a world that has practically abandoned God? What do you do when you realize that you are living in a completely different universe than many of the people in the world that are around you? The Apostle Peter addressed this question when he said, "What kind of people ought you be?" He said, "You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming." You see, our responsibility is never to forget which is the real world and which is fantasy. We are also responsible for rescuing as many people as possible, right? With obviously God at the helm. Rescuing people that are trapped in this world. You see, we live in parallel kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the world. Remember, in Scripture it says the wheat and the weeds grow together and will be together until the end, and the chaff is gathered and burned at that time. Remember that? And the wheat is gathered into the Father's barn. That's Matthew 13. So, first, kingdom living means that we live with an awareness of God's presence. Second, the kingdom living means that we recognize that the kingdom of God is within us. The people of Jesus' day kept looking for a kingdom of God to come in an outward, visible display of power. They thought there would be an overthrow of the foreign oppressors who occupied Israel, and a new age of peace would begin. Everyone would see it. It would be unavoidable. But Jesus' concept of the kingdom was a complete reversal of the thinking of nearly everyone in Israel. His kingdom would not come with an outward display of power and success. It would not be a military victory or a political kingdom. Jesus' kingdom was an interior kingdom, a kingdom of the heart. Jesus never sat on a king's throne, but he rules the world today in ways that most kings never dreamed. He rules the world by winning and ruling the hearts of people. He has reigned over more people than any king who has ever lived or ever will live. But the problem for many is that this is an invisible kingdom. It does not have the trappings of power and prestige. God's reign is happening without many people even noticing. Jesus said the kingdom of God is not coming with things that we can observe, nor they will say, "Look, here it is," or "There it is." In fact, the kingdom of God is within you, Luke 17. Here is where we experience the kingdom of God and its power. This is where Christ sets up his throne. It is a spiritual kingdom that in the end will conquer all the military and political kingdoms of the world. Finally, kingdom living means that we experience the blessing of his reign. We serve a God who loves to bless. Now, I don't know if any of you know Dallas Willard, but I ran across this story. He tells of when the REA, does anybody remember what the REA is? I believe it's Rural Electric Administration or something like that. Association, yeah. Dallas Willard, he tells of when the REA extended electrical lines to his home in Missouri. He says, "When those lines came by our farm, a very different way of living presented itself. Our relationships to fundamental aspects of leisure and preparing food and preserving food could be vastly changed for the better. Those farmers, in effect, heard the message, 'Repent, for electricity is at hand. Repent or turn from their kerosene lamps and lanterns, their ice boxes and their cellars, their scrub boards and rug beaters.'" Now, some of you young folk probably don't even know what most of that is. The power was now inside their homes to make their lives better, if they could and would only accept it. But see, some did not accept the kingdom of electricity. They were suspicious of it. They were even afraid of it. Some thought it cost too much. Some just did not want to take the trouble to change. The blessing was there waiting for them to enjoy, but they were not taking advantage of it. In the same way, the kingdom of God is here waiting for you to enjoy. Some say it costs too much. Others are suspicious. Still others don't want to take the trouble to change. But it's here nonetheless, and it's your choice to accept it or not. So today, let's get our heads out of the clouds, right? Let's begin to open our eyes to the kingdom of God that is around us and within us. Wipe away the fog that blinds you. Jesus said, remember, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. Folks, the kingdom of God has come near. Let's not miss it. Amen. Let's pray. Holy God, we give you thanks and praise. This idea of the kingdom of God is kind of strange to us, Lord. And we ask that as we leave this place that we continue to chew on these ideas of what this means in our life, how we make decisions in our life, how we bring people closer to entering the kingdom of God for themselves. So God, anoint us as we leave this place. Fill us full of your Spirit. We love you, Holy God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.